okay.
Okay. Mike, would you start us in a word of prayer, and then I think that the...
Father, thank you for another opportunity today to gather in your name. And Father, just to open our eyes and our ears and our minds to what we're going to hear talk about here today. And Father, give us an understanding of what you're trying to say to us. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yes. In Jesus' name. Brenda, you were kind of chatting about something.
Well, I was saying about what the teachings, that traditions that men have about Satan being a fallen angel and that. And we know that there's scripture that verifies he was as God created him. And it wasn't God's power and his power. It was that he is a tool in God's hand.
Uh-huh.
And that, even God takes it, says scripture, even the wrath of God, how but God speaks to us, you know, molds us, speaks to us. People, so many have seen churches that the devil this, the devil that, he did this, boy, I was fighting all week with the devil, you know, that. And really, they're not really seeing that. If they're seeing, you know, what he, it's like they're giving him,
2016 mystery, six seasons that aired from,
like they're giving him glory. And like he has so much power. And any power that he has in our lives is because we've given it to him.
Amen. And another thing was, I mean, it's the same thing as God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes.
God is God. Mm-hmm. There is not the devil and God equal and opposite. Mm-hmm. God created everything.
Yes.
And by his pleasure, they are all created. And they are all, in some way, even by being not harmonious, they are doing the will of God as God put it in their heart at that time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they're not going to change.
There was a scripture in Isaiah 14, and this is where most people get concerning. They say this is talking about the devil or whatever you want to call it. And then it's Isaiah 14:12, and it talks about, I just messed it up. Let's see if I can go back to it. I'll just get out of the Bible.
Yes.
Isaiah 14:12. It talks about Lucifer. And
I was just going to ask you.
Lucifer literally means like day star or
light bearer,
whatever, yeah. That kind of thing, you know. And if you read in Isaiah chapter 14, what it tells you is that it calls him a man. It doesn't call him a spirit, it calls him a man. And I really think that what it's talking about there, myself, I think it's talking about Adam. You were perfect in the day you were created, and so on and so forth. It says, let's get to it, and we'll read it. I mean, we're talking about this.
Yeah, I know here in Amplify, it said, how have you fallen from heaven, O light bearer, day star, son of the morning, how you have been cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid low the nations, O blasphemous, satanic king of Babylon. And you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, Hades, to the innermost recess of the pit, the region of the dead. And it said, those who see you will gaze at you, consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who
is this shook? The what?
Is this the man?
Repeat made that again. Is this
the man? Yes.
Okay.
Who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness? Now, who did all this, who caused all this, was Adam.
That's right.
Well, and so, interestingly enough.
And look what you see in Revelations where it says, until the day star rise in your heart.
Uh-huh.
You mean you go according to what the church teaches out there, a lot of the churches, until Satan arises in your heart?
Right.
No. Till the day star rises. We know Jesus was the bright and morning star. He was the day star. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, you know, and what when you were reading there, I was thinking back to in the garden and
the fall there.
Serpent came to Adam and said, or possibly Eve, and said, did God not tell you not to eat of this, you know? And he said, we're allowed to eat of anything but except that tree. Well, and the serpent says to him, yes, because when you eat of that tree, you will be like God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They were when they ate of that tree. The knowledge of good and evil. And that all had to do with judgment. Judgment,
but God
judgment,
already said
judgment.
Eve that let's make them and create in our image. You know, they were already.
They
didn't know. So Satan.
When you read in Isaiah, it's saying, I will ascend into the heights above, you know, mm-hmm. going above God. And the problem with it is that even in sometimes in a deeper teaching, you know, people make themselves out to be God, you know. Mm-hmm. Not a part of God or not part of the body of Christ or whatever, but mm-hmm. make themselves out to be God themselves, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. on an individual level. And what does it say there? How many I wills is there?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Do you know the footnote on here says that the Hebrew for the expression light bearer or shining one is translated Lucifer in the Latin Vulgate and is thus translated in the King James Version. But because of the association of that name with Satan, it is now used in this and other translations. Some students feel that the application of the name Lucifer to Satan, in spite of the long and confident teaching in that effect, is erroneous, that the application of the name Satan has existed since the third century and is based on the supplication that that Luke in 10:18 is explanation of Isaiah, which many authorities believe is not true. Lucifer and the light bearer is the equivalent of the name radiant, brilliant, morning star in Revelation 22:16. A name Jesus called himself. Mm-hmm. This passage here is Isaiah 14:13, clearly applies to the king of Babylon. Something of the king of Babylon there, you know, also.
Well, the king of Babylon, and you know, really, that's the king of confusion.
Yes,
you know,
and that's
everywhere.
System.
The king of Babylon's still around. I got news for you. Mm-hmm. That is the king of confusion. But
yes.
But you know, it's when you realize that when Jesus stood there and said, you know, talked to him about being born again and so on and so forth in, mm-hmm. in Matthew, and he stood there and he said, "I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven."
Yes,
and, you know. Now, if we would only realize it that, you know, so we're as Christians, we're seated together with him in heavenly places, okay, with him.
Yes.
But if you read what it reads, it says here, and now this is out of the King James, and he said, Lucifer, the son of the morning, thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, you know, of God, and I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Mm-hmm. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? And that did shake the kingdoms. And the word for man there is not the word Adam, but it's the word Ish. Okay? And after God took Eve out of Adam, a lot of times in Scripture, when you see the word man translated, it's not always Adam. A lot of times it's Ish. And that means champion, and it has a better meaning than Adam. Adam means a man of low degree, you know, and all that. But we have to realize that we have to have the attitude of that we're a man of low degree when it comes to God, you know, that he is above everything. Christ in us is that power. Without that power of him being in us, we're nothing but the dirt of the dust of the earth, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, but if you listen, if you read that there, you realize that he kept saying, I will, I will, I will, I will, okay? You have to get the I and the will out of it. It's yes. God's will, not your will, you know. And when we come to realize that, that's literally talking about mankind, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but, you know, there's a lot on that. And you most Christian people would fight you over that, oh, you know. So yes. it's a doctrine when you really talk about a misinterpretation of the word Lucifer, you know, then, and you know, if you go up into, I'm trying to think if it's in Ezekiel, I think it's in Ezekiel, it might be in Zechariah, where he talks about Tyrus, and he basically begins to talk about Tyrus, and he told him, you were in the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering, and all this and that. Well, he's talking about man again, see? Mm-hmm. He said, but he, in other words, he said, I'm going to cast you out as being profane. You know, and the reason that he does that is because he had exalted himself, you know. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, or I would have pulled up all the scriptures for you.
Wouldn't this be a good
I would have pulled up the scriptures for you, but, you know, let me see if I can find it here. I probably got it marked in here somewhere. It might be in Zechariah. I can't remember if it's in Ezekiel or Zechariah. I think it's in Zechariah. Mm-hmm. One time the Lord woke me in the middle of the night dealing with this stuff on Zechariah and years ago. And let's see if I can find it. Let's see here. Tell you why I'm looking for that in Zechariah. Mm-hmm. In Zechariah chapter 3, read that out of the Amplified Bible. And this is where Zechariah had, you know, had an encounter with God.
But he had.
Where do you start at?
Start the first verse.
On
chapter 3, Zechariah.
Okay. Then the guardian angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his.
Hold on just a minute. Showed me Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua's name means God the Savior. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now go ahead.
The angel of the Lord.
Satan standing
at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. Mm. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord who now and habitually chooses Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this returned captive Joshua a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment and was standing before the angel of the Lord. And he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him.
Hold on just a second there. Let me interject something in there. Okay. What happened with Jesus when at the Last Supper, what did he do? He took, after they had finished the supper, he took and he laid aside his garments and he clothed himself in, it says a towel in the King James, but it's a linen garment, and he began to wash their feet. And as he washed their feet, what was he clothed with? Filthy garments. Okay. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry to stop you. I just wanted to inject a couple things there.
And he said to Joshua, "Behold, I have caused you iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel." And I, Zechariah, said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with rich garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall rule my house, and I have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these who stood here."
And if you interjected Jesus' name there instead of Joshua,
yes,
would be perfect, you know,
yes,
as to what he did. Go ahead, just keep reading. I'm sorry. This is.
"And now, beautiful. O Joshua, the high priest, you and your colleagues who usually sit before you, for they are men who are a sign or omen, types of what is to come. Well, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch."
Hold on a minute there. Now let's just talk about the branch for a second. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, and what?
We're the branches.
You're the branches."
Right.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
"For behold, upon the stone which I have set before Joshua, upon that one stone are seven eyes or facets, the all-embracing province of God and the sevenfold radiation of the Spirit of God. Behold, I will carve upon it its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity and guilt of this land in a single day."
Hold on. And what happened when Jesus died on Calvary?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He removed the iniquity of the land in one day.
One day, yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, buddy.
"In that day, says the Lord of hosts, you shall invite each man his neighbor under his own vine and his own fig tree."
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then in verse 14, and you know, you can go ahead and read chapter 4. I'm talking about chapter 4.
And the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me, like a man who is waking out of his sleep.
Okay, now there again. What happened in Genesis? God put him to sleep, and he withdrew. Never said he woke him up. Never said he woke. And what does Scripture say in numerous places? Awake, thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. And it says that numerous times. So, you know, mankind out there is still asleep.
Yes.
They haven't been waking up yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm just bringing some of these points out as we go through this. It's beautiful.
He said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl for oil on top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are on the top of it."
And let me talk about the lampstand for just a second. There are seven lamps. In Revelation, how many churches are there?
Seven.
The church is a type of the lampstand. Okay, so go ahead.
"And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it."
Okay, stop right there just a second. Two olive trees. We know that he was the original olive tree, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say in Psalm number 1? "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters."
Mm-hmm.
We know that we were engrafted into the olive tree, you know. And in Revelations, when it talks about the crystal stream that came out from the throne, there was a tree on one side of it and a tree on the other side of it. two trees. The trees are Jesus Christ and his people, you know, the two trees. And when it says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man walking not in the counsel of God, he stands the way of the sinner, for he shall be like a tree planted by water that shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves were for the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. You know, and what happens when you see the leaves in a tree? You know, what does it mean? It means that tree's alive.
Yes.
We went away on vacation one time, and we came back, and we had a big maple tree in our backyard. I mean, it was a big tree. It had been there for many, many years. This is not the house we live in now, but we used to live in. And we come back, and all the leaves were falling off the tree now. And we thought, what in the world happened to this tree? I mean, it wasn't time for the leaves to fall off. And we got a guy across the street who was a landscaper. He come over and he looked at it, and he said, you got borers in your tree. I said, what? He said, you got borers in your tree. He said, they bored in there and they killed your tree.
Mm-hmm.
All the leaves had fallen off. I mean, it was amazing. In about a week's time, all those leaves had fallen off that tree. And I mean, it was a big tree. Mm-hmm. And you know, that when the leaves were for the healing of the nation. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's part of our ministry, to heal the nations.
Yes.
Like I read you guys last week out of Psalm 82. How long will you, Elohim, will you allow, basically is what he was saying, how long, Elohim, will you allow the earth to be out of course? Talking to us.
Yeah.
We're Elohim too, see. And, you know, but anyway, go ahead, buddy. I'm just interjecting some of this in there.
Feeding it continuously with oil. So I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And then the angel who talked with me answered me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord.
Then he let me say one thing real quick right there. Anytime that God asks you a question, don't act like you know the answer. Let him give you the answer. Because if you act like you know the answer, he won't give you the answer.
Yeah.
Admit you're
dumb,
stupid, or whatever you want to call it.
That's easy to admit.
Yeah, it's easy to admit. That's right. Admit it and tell him, Lord, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. What are you saying to me out of this? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what, that's when he starts opening things up to you. Mm-hmm. When you start saying, Lord, I don't know what this means. What does this mean? And I'll say this for Zechariah, he was smart in that he didn't all of a sudden start throwing some religious stuff out there. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I don't know what this is. You know, go ahead, buddy.
But I want to know, when he's saying, my Lord, and he's saying it's an angel, but who is it?
Well, when he's saying, when it's an angel, usually it's the angel of the Lord, it's the Spirit of God. You know,
right.
It's always the Spirit of God, usually.
But then he called it my Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he is Lord. But in type and shadow, see, Joshua was a type of Jesus Christ, which had not come yet. Joshua the high priest. We know that Jesus was a priest after the order or rank of who?
Melchizedek,
king priest. There was no other king priest other than Melchizedek in the scriptures, except Jesus. He was both the ultimate high priest, and he was also the ultimate king, you know.
Yes.
So, and what have we been called?
Kings and priests.
We've been called kings and priests. We should be functioning in that order of Melchizedek, but we only function in that as God allows us to function.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
When I read Brother Edie, when they said the angel, I always thought it was Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you have to realize in type and shadow here, Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ which had not come yet. In the flesh.
Yeah.
See, he had not yet put on the filthy garments. He had not yet done any of that yet. You know, but this is telling you what he's going to do here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what you'll end up finding out as you're going down through there, you'll find out it talks about Joshua and it talks about Zerubbabel.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it in the Amplified because it brings it out really good. But always when it's talking about the angel of the Lord, it's always really, it's Jesus. He was God. He was the angel of the Lord. He was the one who met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. And, you know, he was all of those things, you know.
Basically, it says that in the very next verse.
Go ahead. Just read on down.
Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree.
I love that. Mm-hmm. A ceaseless supply. And it comes from the two olive trees.
Yep.
One on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side. And I got news for you. If you stand on someone's right hand, which one of your hands is next to his right hand?
Left hand.
Okay. And that's why we have to make sure that we keep our left hand in his hand.
Yes.
And there's a real tremendous truth there about the right and the left hand of God. And scripture tells us that in his right hand are pleasures evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The left hand side of in the natural, and you have to take a lot of this stuff into the natural too. Most people are right handed. This whole world is geared toward right handed people. Usually your left hand is your unskilled hand, you know what I'm saying? In the natural, for most people. It signifies, the left hand signifies the shortcomings in your life. It signifies all of the things that are not totally in control.
The lack.
You know, the things are not in control. And how many of us have things in our life that we say, oh Lord, I wish you'd get control of this area or that area. And sometimes he leaves the left hand there, see? And you know, when we realize that, when the Lord gave me that poem about the potter, you know, and it's the processing, the Lord continues his days, working mud into clay. The clay is forming with his right hand. Mm-hmm. That's the creative hand.
Mm-hmm.
That he might make it a vessel fit into his plan. But after he's placed it upon his wheel, and he's twisted and turned and spun with his eel, and the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see if you lift it with water. Fill it with water, it no longer will be, for the water will cause it to sag and to fall. For the strength of the vessel is not there after all, but the master must lift it with both of his hands, see, the right and the left, and process it farther that it might meet his demands. And into the fiery furnace it must go to be tested and tried. His will, he showed, was to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity, for the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained
within
by the
walk.
Strength of its walk.
Right.
In other words, his presence. It's all about him, and it has to stay about him, see?
Mm-hmm.
Him in you.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts being about you in him too much, then that's when you fall back into that, what we were reading back there in Isaiah, you know, about Lucifer, you know, that Lucifer back there, because he was a man, and he caused the whole earth to fall into error and stumble. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Bill Britton has a writing on the right hand of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the right hand of God, what did he say? He said, he talked about, sit on my right hand and until I make all thy enemies thy footstool.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's tons of scriptures about the right hand, and you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And the right hand is talking about the power hand.
Yes.
It's talking about all of the, and when somebody is, when you have a king and he wants to endue you with power, what does he call you? He calls you his right-hand man.
Yes.
And the right-hand man is the one that you give your authority to accomplish whatever you want done, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead. And this is beautiful. I mean, this is a tremendous thing we're talking about.
Next.
Causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but my
Jesus.
Spirit.
There you
the
go.
Oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts.
That's where it is.
Well, that's worth repeating there. To the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.
All right. Where's Zerubbabel?
Okay. Where's Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is one born out of Babylon.
Yes.
Born out of confusion. And that's, we all have been Zerubbabel, and we sometimes still are part of Zerubbabel. But what does he say concerning that Zerubbabel nature? Not by power, nor by might, but what?
By my spirit,
saith the Lord. And that's what it has to be. I mean, this is a tremendous word.
You know, and he says to him, you sit by my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. This Zerubbabel thing is not a thing of doing.
No.
It's a thing of sitting and allowing God.
Letting him only do that which I see my Father do.
Yes.
You know, I only say that which I hear my Father say. And that's where we're going to end up eventually.
How great.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And when we get in trouble a little bit, it's when we start trying to do ahead of him, or trying to interject God into something that he hasn't interjected himself into yet, you know.
Where it says, in the King James, where it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, where it says spirit, it's got a footnote here. Uh-huh. It capitalizes it, how it should be, because it's talking about him, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yeah. And we know about the spirit. We know what it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. There's one faith, one baptism, and how many spirits?
One.
One spirit.
One man.
And we have to quit separating our spirit
by saying that
from his spirit, by saying our spirit. We need to only acknowledge his spirit, because there's only one spirit according to what the word says. When we do that, what we're doing is we're separating ourselves off away from God.
That's right.
And then we're saying, well, bless God, my spirit, you know, this and my spirit, that way. No, his spirit. And when, if you say my spirit in the context of that, you're saying his spirit. Mine and his are one. I'm one with him. But you shouldn't even say my. It should be his.
Right.
Always.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, buddy. At, read the rest of that.
For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the city exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him? You shall become a plain, a mere mole, and you shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it.
Well, I know nothing about that. You're gonna bring forth the gable stone. You know what the gable stone is? That means it's been completed. And how's it gonna be completed? By you shouting what? Grace unto it. And then this thing all is done by grace, and it has to be done by the grace of God. It can't be done by any other way.
Right.
You can't make it happen.
No.
All you can do is flow and move with God as he flows and moves in you. You know. I mean, this is tremendous. I mean, this is a tremendous word. It really is.
And you know, it speaks peace to your heart.
Oh, it is. It
because
does.
You just...
all your struggling and all your wrestling and all you're
nothing.
Trying to do
it's
and do for God and all that stuff.
Messing it all
it's,
up.
It's a mess. And most of the time, unless God's directing you to do it. And when he's directing you to do it, it'll flow just like it's supposed to flow.
And isn't that kind of the definition of evil?
Yeah.
It cannot complete what it's trying. You know, it's something that cannot complete what it's trying.
Think of the word evil. It's life reversed. It's life reversed. That's how it's spelled. If you take the word evil and you reverse the letters, it's life. You know, or it's live or whatever. You know, it's life. So when you realize that when you're trying to do everything for God, what you're really doing is, I hate to say it, but it's evil, because it's not life. It's not life unless he's in it, unless he's directing you in it.
Yeah. When you're doing something for God, you're delaying actually what God wants to do in you.
Right.
Because he still wants us, well, I can't get into that. No. I'll get into it, but not in here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's go ahead, buddy, if nobody else has anything else to say. I love that. Read that over again. About
it's so beautiful.
Which part?
About Zerubbabel.
Seven.
We're, yeah.
Okay. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, you shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Then you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you, who with reason despises the day of small things. For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Mm-hmm. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Yeah. Then I said to him, the angel who talked with me, what are these two olive trees on the right hand of the lampstand and on the left of it? And a second time I said to him, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden tubes or spouts by which the gold oil is emptied out? And he answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two sons of oil, Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, the two anointed ones, who stand before the Lord of the whole earth and his anointed instruments.
Okay. Beautiful. Now,
that's beautiful.
In Revelations, it'll talk about two witnesses. Mm-hmm. That's the two witnesses. Mm-hmm. The two witnesses are Jesus, you know, Joshua, and Zerubbabel, one born out of Babylon. Mm-hmm. That's the two witnesses. I'm going to tell you, when you really understand this stuff, it is so beautiful and so powerful, and God was showing even back here everything that he was going to do. And that's why I love the Old Testament, the prophetic. Mm-hmm. The people say, yeah, but it's the Old Testament. No, mm-hmm. It's not. This is a whole, but this is just the Bible. This isn't the Old Testament in the sense of being the Old Testament. This is a prophetic word that is to the body of Christ, to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the Ten Commandment laws that you gotta obey, or the whatever, however many, they made hundreds of them, not just 10, because they kept adding to them all the time. You know, but man, I tell you what, when you see this, when the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and started dealing with me about this, years ago, I mean, it just blew me away. I just sat there and just in awe and thought, wow, what you're showing me here. This is tremendous, you know.
And the commandments were hundreds.
Yeah.
And Jesus brought them down to two.
Yeah.
And
you know,
loving God and your neighbor.
You know, the name Zechariah literally means the Lord remembers. Okay? And even when you look at a lot of these books, you need to go back and study into the name of whoever the prophet is or whatever's going on, because it tells you a lot when you do. The Lord remembers. You know, he made a covenant with man in the beginning when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. He has never deviated from that. It did not go away in Adam. It's never going to go away, because when he speaks forth his word, he's going to hasten to bring it forth in his time, you know. And that's where we get into trouble a lot of times, because we want it to be in our time. Well, I got news for you. It's in his time. When he decides to bring it forth, when he brings forth that total perfection, he'll be the one that brings it forth. It won't be you, but it'll be him in you, yes. You know, his spirit in you bringing it forth, you know. I tell you, and even that next chapter, oh my God, God showed me all kinds of things about that years ago too, you know. And listen, let's just read that a minute. We talk about the Ten Commandments for a second, but just being that we're here, I'll read it out of the King James. That's chapter 5.
Five.
And it says, and then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if anybody's got that chart with numbers, that's very significant there.
It's
10,
30
20.
Feet by 15 feet.
Please?
30 feet by 15.
No, I mean the numbers, the meaning of numbers that I gave you that one time.
But it's still, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 is the number for, it's for law, responsibility, and I don't know if I have one here or not. I probably got one here somewhere.
I think I got one here.
If you got one, bring it out. 20 is the number for redemption.
And a roll is a scroll.
It's a scroll.
Just in case anybody...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's see what
10,
this.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah. What's 10?
10 is testimony, law, responsibility.
Okay. And then what is 20?
15 is rest.
What is 20?
All right, I'm going to 20. 20 is redemption.
Okay.
You want to know what 30?
Now here's what the Lord showed me concerning that. The law can never bring you into a place of redemption.
Right.
It will never get you there. Grace is the only thing that can ever get you into a place of total redemption. Now, let's go on down through here just a minute. We might as well do this being we're into it. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, said, a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Okay. And he said unto me, this is the curse. What?
Mm-hmm.
This is the curse that goes over the fourth over the face of the whole earth. What's the curse?
The
law.
The law.
The law. Why? Because you can't fulfill it. It's a curse to you in the natural. Okay? And he said unto me, this is the curse that goes over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. Thou shalt not what?
Steal.
Shall be cut off on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth,
mm-hmm.
we're not supposed to swear, shall be cut off on the side according to it. It will bring forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house and shall consume it with timber thereof and stones. And the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thy eyes and see what this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is the Eliph that goeth forth. He shall moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. That's the weights and the measures. Eliph is the weights and measures. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. Okay, now we know lead is heavy, and we know that lead is almost as heavy as gold, but it's really of no value, not like gold. Okay, this is the woman that sits in the midst of the Eliph, in the midst of the measures. Who's the woman that sits in the midst of the measures? You want to know who it is? It's the church. It's the organized church. It's the Babylonian church. Because what's it doing? It's always judging weights and measures.
Yes.
You know, it's always putting stuff on a scale. Well, you know, you're a sinner. You do this. You did that. You,
yes.
you know, you.
It's always wanting to run interference.
Always going to bring judgment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said, "This is the wickedness that he cast into the midst of the Eliph, into the midst of the mm-hmm. of the weights and measures.
Mm-hmm.
He cast the weight of lead upon the mouth of it, and lead's going to pull it down." Then lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I can't remember exactly what the Lord told me about the two women, but I'm going to tell you that it has to do with the church. It has to do with the church. And they had the wings of a stork, okay? What do storks signify?
Babies.
Babies. What is the church always trying to do?
Keep on babies.
Keep on babies and have more babies and babies and babies and babies and babies. And they don't want them to grow up.
Church wants to multiply.
They want to multiply and get as big as it can get.
Yeah.
But they want to keep them babies.
They want all the
Because as long as they're babies, they're dependent on you.
That's right.
Okay. They're not gonna grow up and be independent.
That's why they
Now we've always said that at least for me, I felt like that the Lord told me that my ministry here and whatever's going out over the internet or wherever it goes or whatever it does is to help the body of Christ do what?
Grow up.
Not be babies anymore. Mm-hmm. You know. And let's just read the rest of it. And I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the eliph, the weights and the measures, between the earth and heaven. And anytime something puts something between earth and heaven, what's it trying to do? It's blocking it.
Yes.
It's blocking it. And it blocks the entrance into the heavenly realms because it's do's and don'ts and weights and measures. And you got to measure up and you got to do all, you know, that's what it mounts out to. And between heaven and earth. And then I said to the angel that talked with me, whether do these bear the eliph? Okay. And he said unto me, to build them a house in the land of Sinar. Sinar is a name for Babylon.
Really?
Build them a house in the land of Babylon. And mm-hmm. they're always building a house in the land of Babylon.
Their so. Comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Mm. Now let me tell you what, anytime it sets on her base, it's not a good thing.
No.
Because it's not setting on, and when it sets up, sets on a base, it's setting it on a pedestal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a word for pedestal. And anytime that the church gets set up as a pedestal, it's a bad thing. Because man is going to worship that instead of worshiping God.
That's what's wrong about
And worshiping sex. Her, and I'm going to tell you, when you talk about her too, you're talking about the soulish realm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The soulish realm. And I mean, we could go on, but I don't know if we should. I mean, we could go through this next
this
chapter
or so. It's
wonderful. It's but think about some of these things I've said to you here today concerning this stuff. But I'm telling you what, that is what's happening today.
Yes.
That's what's happening today.
Over the years, I've been accused of not putting Brother Eddie up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I said, that's because I love him. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? I said, well, see, if you put anything on a pedestal and it's not Jesus Christ, you're preferring, you're making them a god and preferring them before. And I said, my Bible teaches me he's a jealous God.
How many times,
I'm giving him life by not doing that.
How many times over the years have, and if you've listened, you've heard me say this many times. Don't get your eyes on Oscar.
Yeah.
Oscar will fail
Eddie
you.
Wouldn't want you to.
Oscar will fail
he
you.
Would not want
I know,
you
but see, people have a tendency that they do that.
Yes.
And I told you guys a little story a while back about when I was working at Drillhead years and years ago, this young guy come in and he was kind of a little bit on fire for God, but he was he had a bunch of young people they were gathering together. They were dissatisfied where they were going to church. And he came to me as I shared with him and stuff, different things, and I think I gave him a couple of Press and EB papers to read or whatever back then. And he came to me and he wanted me to get together
with them.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do it. And I felt like what he was really telling me was, they'll end up trying to put you on a pedestal.
Right.
That was what I really felt like. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be on nobody's pedestal because I don't belong on a pedestal. I had a person say to me one time, years ago, they said to me, how could I let so-and-so get into the pulpit? And I thought, okay, I'm going to answer you. I said, there ain't one person in this church who climbs in that pulpit that deserves to be up there.
No.
Not one, me included. And I said, I said, this thing is not about who you are, what you are, what you've done. This thing is all about the Lord, and if he opens a door for somebody to minister, then I'm not going to close that door unless God tells me to close that door. And I had another person come to me and tell me, if you knew where my relative was last night, you'd never let them get in the pulpit. And you know what? This person was wanting me to let them in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been thinking about them. And you know what? I quit thinking about them after that. They never darkened the pulpit up there to preach, because what does Scripture tell you you're supposed to do about your brother? If you see his nakedness, what are you supposed to do? Cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Cover it. Not try to expose it. And and I'm just telling you, there, you know, God's taught me so many things over the years concerning people and nature of people. And most people that I let in the pulpit, and I'll be honest with you, most of the people I let in the pulpit are people who are humble, and they say, oh my God, I don't know if I can even get up there, you know. And it's not because it's climbing up the stairs to sit on, get on the thing up there. That has nothing to do with it. It's your realization that this thing has to be about God, and you know your limitations in the natural, and you say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I have to, this has to be you, it can't be me, you know what I mean?
You know, I think that what we need to come to the realization is, it's not about our history,
yeah,
but it's about our future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have a future in Christ.
I will tell you.
It's better than what we ever know.
I will tell you this, read back over this portion of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Read back over what we've talked about here today. Or even get this tape and listen to it again a couple times. Listen to it a few times. Let it sink down inside of you, because I'm telling you what, there's real revelation,
yes,
in that word.
Yes.
Tremendous revelation. And it tears down a lot of things that traditional religion out there has been saying and doing.
You talking about getting in the pulpit. Clyde said, it's that you get to.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, but yeah, God has,
right,
and God has it that you get to go,
right,
you know.
Right.
I think this has been a tremendous, somehow God stepped in and said, here's what we're going to talk about.
Right,
today.
Because I had no idea we were even going to talk about this
if
stuff.
You think that we need to go on in Zechariah just a little bit more next week and Sunday.
Well, if you want to, we can go into another chapter of it. There's some pretty good stuff.
Like 13, 14 chapters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to go all the way through it.
No.
Again, but if
no,
you don't want to, but we can if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
Let's see how the Lord is. I'm feeling I would love to hear some more of these.
I'll have to go back and see. I do have notes. I used to have notes, tons of them, you know, over the years. But, you know, I'll have to go back and look. And I can't remember a few of the things that the Lord showed me back then, because, I mean, I'm just telling you this stuff off the top of my head, what I know.
Well, thank God,
you know,
for
but,
his
presence. I'm telling you what, folks, God's Word is so beautiful and so perfect. And when you realize, and he opens it up, this stuff just all fits together like a beautiful puzzle.
It
you
does.
Know what I mean?
And, you know, this whole thing that we talked about all day today,
yeah,
envelops perfectly with 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Okay, well,
where,
that's right.
You know, like this one little thing I highlighted because it kind of really grabbed me. It says, this is Paul speaking. He says, my mind is fully made up about you. Mm-hmm. You know, and he says, the only possible way in which I can truly know you is in the light of God's mystery. Isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
Mm. Which is Christ in you.
Yes.
Jesus died mankind's death.
Amen.
On the cross. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. And thus brought final closure to any other basis of judgment.
Mm.
I mean, that just, you know,
yeah,
it's,
well,
all the same message, isn't it? It's,
yeah,
all the same message.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let you know if I feel like we should go ahead and go into that. If,
yeah,
not, then
right,
you just go right.
Well,
that's beautiful what you just read there. That's
yes,
it perfectly about, you know, Joshua having on the filthy clothes.
Yes.
You know.
There's no basis for judgment.
And you know, the Buddy read out of the Amplified, we're talking about put on a green turban or whatever it was.
Yes.
In the King James, it says it put a fair mite on his head.
Yeah.
And the high priest had a turban type thing on his head, but he also had a little plaque up there. Mm-hmm. I believe it said holiness unto the Lord, you know, or something like that, you know. And you know, it's just beautiful the way that all this stuff really intertwines and fits together and just this goes like that, you know.
And you know how you say about the thing the Lord shows you was the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way in the world
you could sit down and figure that. The stuff I just told you, you couldn't figure that out if you had to. I couldn't. I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
The simplicity of Christ.
I'll tell you. That when he woke me up that night and he started showing me that stuff, I thought, I was just blown away. You know, I was
can't get puffed up about that.
Oh no, you can't.
Yeah, you are just.
You can't. When God shows you something, He showed it to you. And that's why sometimes when I hear ministers make some of the things that I hear them say sometimes, and I heard a precious brother that was tremendous in his word. I heard him say, I could take you out into the deep end of the pool and drown you. And I think, oh, brother, that you should never say stuff like that.
No.
Never, never, never. Because, you know, that's just not, that's being puffed up when you say that kind of stuff. It's just.
Well, you might as well pray and dismiss us.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
goodness.
Yes, in Jesus' name, we just ask you, Father, that this word that's went forth here today, that you send it out over these airwaves and that people begin to realize that you've got this thing so figured out and so perfectly laid out.
Thank you.
That if we'll admit our ignorance in things sometimes in the natural and allow the wisdom of God to really come into our lives, that you'll show us truths and beautiful things that are just so beyond where the natural religion is. It's, and I'm saying the natural religion because it's not all about getting cars and houses and money and all these other things that get preached so much from the pulpit, and not about judgment, but it's about your mercy, your love. And like it said back there, that it's going to be called grace unto it. That's what it's all about, the grace of God. Your divine influence upon our hearts, it's reflection out into the lives, it changes lives.
Yes.
It takes you, Lord, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And I ask you to just let this word go forth and let it go forth to where it just ministers and breaks down walls of division and the traditions of the elders, Lord. That brings the word of God to no effect. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Oscar, as you were praying.